Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
Stagflation is the current macroeconomic condition, no matter what Jerome Powell admits to or not. The Bureau of Economic Analysis reported this week that Q1 GDP grew at a lousy 1.6% seasonally adjusted annualized rate. The Atlanta Fed had predicted the report would show growth at a 2.7% rate. And Wall Street had the estimate at 2.5%, but 1.6% is far away. And this 1.6% annualized rate was down from Q4 of 2023, which posted 3.4%. So growth is slowing, and sharply. Meanwhile, the price index for gross domestic purchases increased 3.1% in the first quarter, compared with an increase of just 1.9% in the fourth quarter of last year. And there's another inflation metric incorporated in the BEA data. The personal consumption expenditure, PCE price index, increased 3.4%. compared with an increase of 1.8%. Excluding food and energy prices, the core rate, core PCE price index increased 3.7% compared with an increase of 2% in the previous quarter. Hence, U.S. GDP is decelerating, cut in half. It is anemic while prices are rising at a faster rate. That is the definition of stagflation, no matter who is comfortable with it or who wants to admit to it. The labor market is weakening. It's not very strong any longer. It's weakening. The quality of the jobs created is deteriorating, and I hopefully will get more. And I hope for the, when I say hopefully, I hope for the best for this country. But what's best for this country now, what it needs, is a recession to clear out all the imbalances. So I think that Friday's jobs number is going to be weaker than expected, but who knows what they can conjure up at the Bureau of Labor Statistics. I mean, the Labor Department is working overtime, in my opinion, creating these phantom jobs, these assumed jobs, in assumed companies that are created. It's called the birth to death model. But all the jobs that are created, they're reported that they're recording are part-time. They're in the part-time category. In March, we lost 6,000 full-time jobs. There were 303 net new jobs created in the headline number, but they were all part-time jobs. Part-time employment typically offers no benefits and pays lower wages. In fact, over the past year, there has been an increase of 2 million part-time jobs, while the number of full-time jobs actually has decreased by 1.3 million jobs. Do you think you might hear that on CNBC? I don't think so. But that's the truth. The evidence of a faltering U.S. economy is really all around us. You just have to open your eyes and ears and willing to acknowledge it. It's not just the economic data, but a plethora of corporate earnings reports from the likes of Starbucks and Amazon and Supermicrocomputer, AMD, Walmart, just to name a few, are all warning of a consumer that is sinking. I'll have much more to say on that next week. But the economic data is souring right now. The Conference Board's Consumer Confidence Index deteriorated for the third consecutive month in April, retreating to 97 from its downwardly revised 103.1 in March. And it was originally reported at 104.7. That's a pretty steep decline. The expected number for consumer confidence in April was 103.5, but again, that number took a big drop to 97. The primary reason is inflation. Incomes just are not keeping up with the rise in consumer prices. Coming out also this week was the Chicago Business Activity Index, and that came in at the lowest level in 17 months. In addition, the ISM Manufacturing Index was released today, and it showed the manufacturing sector of the economy fell back into recession, contraction. In April, the number was 49.2, which is below the neutral line of either expansion or contraction, of 50. New orders and employment also contracted. Meanwhile, the prices paid component of the ISM jumped to 60.9 from 55.8, marking a surge in prices paid in inflation. Again, this confirms the current condition of stagflation, but it should not last much longer. The dwindling reverse repo facility, tightening bank lending standards, quantitative tightening, which was cut in half, we'll get on that in a second, but still quantitative tightening is not QE. Positive or real Fed funds rate cycling massive amount of outstanding debt at much higher rates are the reasons why a recession is on the doorstep. Now, two salient points I want to touch on in this podcast. Two salient points. The first is about the insolvent U.S. fiscal disaster that we have right now and getting worse. And the second is regarding the Japanese yen debacle. So just one quick comment about America and its debt. The Congressional Budget Office projects that America's publicly held debt will reach $140 trillion, which is 166% of GDP by 2054, which is not that far away. With debt growing at a pace that is 1.5 times GDP. According to David Stockman, this would necessitate that the Fed's balance sheet should explode to nearly $30 trillion by that same year, 2054. And that would be needed in an attempt to keep interest rates from getting out of control, just spiraling out of control. That is the perfect recipe for stagflation. An insolvent nation whose central bank is needed to print money, create inflation, to keep interest rates low. That's a very interesting dichotomy, which never turns out well in history. Moving on to the train wreck, which is known as Japan, the Japanese economy, not the Japanese people, the Japanese economy and the Japanese government, they're train wrecks. Japan is an island with virtually no natural resources and must import goods in a currency that is crashing. It's lost 15% of its value versus the US dollar, 10% against the euro, and 10% against the yuan year over year, largest trading partners. However, that has not stopped the government from claiming that their inflation rate is 2.7% year over year. How can they have a currency, an island nation that imports everything, all the raw materials needed to create everything? There's nothing there. There's no natural resources. If their currency is crashing, inflation has to be, you know, a pretty salient factor here. But it's not recorded. At least it's not, you know, promulgated by the government. But as ever, gold tells you the truth about what inflation's doing. The price of gold in Japanese yen has soared by 39% year over year. The Bank of Japan is taking emergency measures to support the yen while inflation is supposedly quiescent. What a joke. They are intervening in the currency market to boost the yen, and that requires the Bank of Japan to either sell U.S. treasuries and buy back the yen in the foreign exchange market, or alternatively, the Bank of Japan could sell gold in exchange for dollars and then exchange those dollars for yen. Now, only a deranged and desperate maniac central bank would sell gold, sell their gold supply to support their currency. Now, I'm not saying I know for sure this is happening, but I mean, this would explain a lot of short-term volatility in the gold market. But you're really exchanging short-term, very short-term gain for a tremendous amount of long-term pain, because there's nothing worse for the FX market, the international foreign exchange market, to know that your fiat currency is not backed by any gold. That is the recipe for an absolute crash. And if this is indeed what the Bank of Japan is doing, it would account for the volatility in gold, as I said, but it would also necessitate an absolute debacle for the yen and for the Japanese economy in the future. Let's hope they're not doing that. So in conclusion, today was the Federal Open Market Committee's meeting and press conference. And I got to say, Powell's getting very good at lying. I'm not going to say being mendacious. I'm not going to say prevaricating. I'm going to just say he out and out lies. I mean, this feckless Fed announced that it will cut the pace of quantitative tightening to $25 billion per month of treasuries instead of the $60 billion that it had been supposedly doing. starting on June 1st. But it's going to keep the mortgage-backed security runoff at $35 billion. Translation, the Fed wants easier financial conditions in the face of stubbornly high inflation that is accelerating further away from its asinine 2% target. The undeniable truth is that the Fed cares much more about the health of the banking system than it does about inflation or the middle class. Powell says, this is the lie he said today. I couldn't believe it. I don't see the stag or the flation. I guess he's not looking at data from the BLS or the BEA. It's just the government data. The government's own data is screaming right now that we have falling GDP growth. The rate of change of GDP growth is falling, and the rate of change of inflation is accelerating. That is undeniably the truth. It's undeniable that prices are rising faster and growth is slowing. Now, we predict there is a precipitous drop coming in GDP, which is going to intensify as the year progresses. This could bring us back to a period of disinflation, if not out-and-out deflation, depending on how long the government will allow this to take place. And from all indications, they're not going to allow, or they're not going to sit idly by while unemployment rates spike and credit markets freeze. Powell has shown his hand. He talks tough about fighting inflation. But when it comes down to it, if the choice is, what do I do? Do I fight a recession or do I fight inflation? He's going to fight the recession. Absolutely, hands down. We predict that depending on the timing of and the degree in which Powell and Yellen deploy fiscal and monetary helicopter money, so it's the timing of it and the intensity of it, we are going to get stagflation like we have never before imagined in the United States. That's unfortunately where the debt is leading us, where the monetary policy is leading us, and where the fiscal policies are leading us. A condition of very slow growth and much higher prices, much higher CPI than we've seen ever before in history. Successfully navigating these boom and bust cycles is what the IDEC model, the Inflation Deflation Economic Cycle model, is all about, and it is absolutely mandatory for a successful retirement.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.